We now bring to these microphones David James. We're going to have our weekly discussion about an issue confronting the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about it from a biblical perspective. David, we catch you on the road again, this time at a conference over in southern Indiana, and this the last ministry trip of the year. As you tell us about that, and remind everybody that your ministry is a faith ministry, and end of the year gift would be a wonderful gift for the ministry, and how would they do that?
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm at Dale Bible Church in southern Indiana, about 2.5 hours away from home, doing 3 evenings at the church. And on Wednesday evening, I did dispensationalism, introduction to dispensationalism, and help people see how God's plan is working through the ages, and even connected it to the importance of the current season that we're in, celebrating the birth of the Savior and the coming Davidic King, as he will sit on the throne of David, both on this earth for 1,000 years and then in eternity future. And then I've also covered the gospel under siege and explaining some false gospels, as well as making sure they understand how to present the true biblical gospel in a clear way. Then I also did a session on the process of discernment, a step-by-step process, how people can understand. Somebody hands you a book, sends you a link to a video. How do you go through the process of discerning whether this is good, biblical? Is this a speaker worth listening to? Is this a book worth reading, as also for your own spiritual development, as well as is this something you should pass on or something that you should not pass on to somebody else? And also, just as you mentioned, our ministry is a faith-based ministry, and we depend upon the support of individuals and churches. And so if anybody would be interested, and if our weekly interviews and discussions have been helpful to people as well, they can go to our website, which is biblicalintegrity.org. That's one word, biblicalintegrity.org, and go to the support page from the menu on the front page. So thanks for mentioning that.
You're certainly welcome. David, this week, the New York Times, and I read the article and sent it along to you, they published an article that cites a recent Pew Research Center survey that found a growing number of Americans don't view Christmas as a religious holiday.
Well, that's right. The title of the New York Times article is Christmas a Religious Holiday? And the answer in the headline was a growing number of Americans say no, citing that Pew Research Center survey that you mentioned. This was a fairly large survey, as surveys go. It was around 1,500 adults, and looking at how Americans view Christmas. And they started off the article by saying that combatants in the annual war on Christmas, quote-unquote, have some new data to chew on. So it does present some interesting issues, and it actually looks at the changes and the reflections in the changes in American attitudes over the last 4 years. And what they found was in 2017, this recent survey, that 55% of Americans said they celebrated Christmas as a religious holiday, and 46% primarily saw it as a religious holiday, while about 33% saw it as primarily a cultural holiday. So they're seeing it as being divorced from even the biblical issues of where we find the importance of that story. Now, 4 years ago, 59% said they celebrated Christmas as a religious holiday. Now, that's only a 4% difference, but it does indicate a trend, and it shows that there are changing attitudes that are reflected in the culture, but also among Christians as well, interestingly.
One of the findings was that even though more Americans think that there is less emphasis on the religious aspect of Christmas in our culture, few are actually even bothered by it.
Well, you know, that different news organizations, particularly Bill Riley, each year while he was still on Fox News, would point out the war on Christmas and bring up the issue of saying Merry Christmas rather than simply Happy Holidays. And certainly President Trump has brought that up several times. He said, we're going to get America back to saying Merry Christmas, because this is an important part of the heritage of this, of even our country going back to the founders. Now, this survey indicated that 52%, so over 50% of Americans said it didn't matter to them what kind of holiday greeting was used, and only around 30% said they prefer to be greeted with Merry Christmas. Now, this would be, I would consider it a seismic shift from when I was growing up. So as we look over the change in the generations, this is a generational change and something that is more profound over a couple of decades than it obviously would be over 4 years. Now, another interesting thing in the survey that I was a little bit surprised about, but perhaps I shouldn't have been, and that was there is a significant difference along party lines versus Republicans and Democrats, and perhaps it reflects different cultural and values and religious values. What they found was that about 50% of Republicans prefer to hear Merry Christmas, while less than 20% of Democrats do. And 61% of Democrats said they don't care what holiday greeting people use, and while less than 40% of Republicans agreed. Now, you know, we don't get into politics as far as dividing along party lines. We deal with the issues, but it seems to indicate that there are some issues related to the kinds of views that make up our various parties, and I think it the way the country goes and the way the country votes, this is having profound impact, even from Washington.
Well, I tell you, when I read the report, of great concern to me is the decline in the number of Americans who believe the miraculous aspects of the biblical account of Christmas to be sure. For example, the virgin birth, the Magi being guided to Bethlehem by the star, and the announcement of Jesus' birth by angels, and so on.
Well, that's true. What they found was they actually focused on those specific issues. And what they found was that while in 2013 and 2014, about 65% of all Americans believed in all four of those miraculous aspects of the account of the birth of Jesus. Now, in 2017, that was well below 60%. So, again, you can't tell a lot over the course of 3 or 4 years, but you can cite trends. And, of course, again, going back to when we were growing up, and, you know, I'm not quite along in my life as far as you are, but I'm sure that what I've seen is comparable to what you've seen. And when we were growing up, these things were just a natural part of life, a natural part of the season. We would see stories on television, and we see programs. Even, you know, go back to a Charlie Brown Christmas, a cartoon that actually focused on those miraculous aspects of the Christmas account and treated them as facts. And what we're finding is that there has been even a small but significant decline of about 5% in the number of Christians, not just average Americans, but the number of Christians who actually believe the Christmas narrative that we find in the Bible. That is extremely troubling.
And by the way, that was a very subtle way of saying that I'm an old man. I heard that.
Oh, you know, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that. Hey, David, how much of a problem do you think it is that Christmas is being increasingly secularized here in our country?
Well, I tell people we can expect the world to act like the world, and we can expect the trends in the world to be that way. And, of course, we live in a pluralistic society where there are multiple religions and we have freedom of religion. And so even as we have immigrants and shifting populations, we're going to naturally have less emphasis on the Bible and belief in biblical truth. But on the other hand, what we have certainly seen throughout history is that the church tends to lag the world by about 20 to 30 years. At least that's been true over the last 100 to 200 years. And so what we're seeing is wherever the secular society is going and the culture as a whole, it does drag the church along in its wake, and it definitely has an influence, whether it be from the educational institutions, the political institutions, social institutions, those kinds of things do drag the church along in its wake, so it shouldn't surprise us. But it should bother us, because if these, going back to the miraculous accounts in the Bible, if fewer and fewer Christians believe them, for example, the virgin birth is directly connected to the incarnation. If the virgin birth is not true, then Jesus is not God. And if Jesus is not God, then that reduces him to the level of any other religious leader who has ever lived through history. It reduces him to the level of Mahatma Gandhi. It reduces him to the level of Muhammad. It reduces him to the level of Buddha, or even the Egyptian Pharaoh, who was the religious leader. The king of Egypt was a religious leader back at the time of Moses. And so Jesus, if he is not God, then he is not the savior of the world. So you can't really pick and choose, and it has tremendous impact on the church, and that means that we are not being the salt and light that we should be to influence the culture rather than allow the culture to influence us.
David, what do you think are the major contributing factors to the decline in Americans believing what the Bible has to say about the accounts in Matthew and Luke concerning the birth of Jesus Christ?
Well, I hate to beat a dead horse, but it goes back to the thing that you and I frequently talk about almost every week, and it is how people approach the Bible. Are they interpreting the Bible according to a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic? And I even brought that up in our church meeting when I was discussing dispensationalism and also the process of discernment. And so the Bible is not being taught the way that it has been in previous decades. It's not being believed the way it has been in previous decades. People are not teaching in an expository way, and the interpretation that pastors and teachers are giving their people is not based upon a proper biblical understanding and method of interpretation. I think this is the main reason. People just don't know how to handle the Bible correctly.
David, I'm sure you'll agree with this. You and I want to make sure to remind our listeners just why Christmas is so important. You mentioned some items, and I want you to expand, if you will. Why should we keep the biblical message in focus, no matter what happens in American culture as a whole?
That's right. Well, you know, the incarnation, the birth of the Savior, was the pivotal point in all of history. And that, combined with what Jesus did on the cross, it affects all of eternity, not only in God's plan, but in our individual lives. And so the message of Christmas, beginning with the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God, God coming to earth to become a man, that led to his life of 30 years here on this earth. And ultimately, as he preached righteousness, he was executed by the religious and political and military and civil authorities, and he died on the cross in our place, taking the punishment we deserve, that through his death, believing and trusting in what he did on the cross, we might have forgiven sin. And then he arose from the dead on the third day, that by believing in his resurrection, we might have eternal life, that dual package of forgiven sin and eternal life by believing, trusting in him and his death and his resurrection. And that is where the story began with Christmas. This is why it's so important, and we must keep the focus on him.
We must do exactly that. Great explanation of the gospel and the reality of its connection to Christmas, when the Savior of the world was born, became man, God-man, and came to give us eternal life. David, thank you so very much. Now, next week we're going to deal with Christmas, and I think it might be good just to take each of those miraculous things and go deeper and tell us why, from a biblical perspective, this is truth and not some type of a fairy tale. Think we could do that next week?
Sounds like a great idea. I really look forward to it.
We'll do that next week when David James joins us. David, thank you so very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jimmy.
We're going to take a break. We're going to look at a potpourri of current events as we take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today.